First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Today is the last day of the year 2006. We are literally at the end of the year. At the end. That's where we're at. And as the day wears on, we will get closer and closer and closer to the end. And then, at midnight, tonight, we will be no longer at the end, but we at the beginning of a new year. Being at the end of something can be a good thing. Being at the end of something can also be a bad thing. If you've done something worthwhile, if you've accomplished some great goal, if you've set your sights on something that you've been working on and you arrive at the end of that, well, then that's a good thing. Many of those who are here today have gone to school, have gone to high school, graduated from high school and got the end of high school, and that was a good thing to get to the end of that educational process. Many have gone to college and worked hard at college and gotten to the end of that schooling and been at the end there. And that was a good thing. Others, however, have gotten to a point in their life where they've got to the end of one place and it's not been a very good thing. The couple who goes out and starts out life together, being married, and eventually come to the point where they end that relationship, that marriage relationship, is not necessarily a good thing. The one who goes out and has great ambitions for his employment, but takes his money and spends it on worldly pleasures to such a degree that he squanders it and ends up ruining himself and his life and loses his job, comes to the end of something. But it's not necessarily a good end. When we think about the end of things in relationship to the Scriptures, there are, in essence, two different ends. One end is a good end, and one end is not so good. There are two destinies for man upon the earth. There is heaven, and there is hell. But before those destinies can be reached, other things will occur at the end. What are some of these things? What does the Bible teach about what is going to happen at the end? Today we are at the end, but we full well expect, save that the Lord returns sometime between now and the year 2007, we full well expect that the year 2007 will begin and that the year 2006 will be ended tonight at 11:59:59. But what will happen at the end of all ends? The Bible teaches that several things will occur. First of all, Jesus will return. He will appear at the end. In John chapter 14 and verse 3, he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He's promised that he's going to return. The promise was made to the apostles in the beginning of the book of Acts. Jesus ascended up into heaven. There was an end of sorts, but also a beginning. When Jesus ascended into heaven, that was the end of his earthly ministry, but the beginning of his heavenly reign. The angels there, while the apostles were looking up into heaven, said to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. As he went, so shall he come." And so he is coming back. We understand from Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 that John said, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. Yes, he is coming again. The passage we've read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Verse 16. And so at the end, we can expect that Jesus will return, that he will come back. He's promised that he's going to come back. The angels have testified of his coming. The apostles record that he is going to return at the end. Jesus will return. But nothing else is going to happen at the end. When Jesus comes back, then there's going to be a great resurrection. A great resurrection. Every single person that has ever lived upon the face of the earth is going to be raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 through 23, we read, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming." There's going to be a general resurrection of the dead. And so at the end, Christ will come. And at the end, the dead will be raised. Both the good and the evil will be raised. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation." Acts 24 and verse 15 also says that some have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And so all are going to be raised from the dead when Christ returns. But the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will rise first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here the passage that we've just read, it says, "If we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then they will rise first," verse 16 says. "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." So Jesus has come back. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive shall meet the Lord in the air, those who are faithful. And then the rest of the dead will be raised from the dead. The dead shall be raised. And then at the end, There's going to be a great judgment. All mankind are going to be judged. We saw this past weekend of the judgment of one particular man. Perhaps you've read the bulletin already, perhaps you haven't. But Friday evening, our time, Saturday morning, Baghdad time, Saddam Hussein was executed. He was judged. But you know, it's going to be a greater judgment. Men judged him for the crimes that he committed that men considered to be worthy of death. But you know, God is going to judge not just for the crimes that men consider to be wrong, but the crime God considers to be wrong as well. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verses 7 and 10 that after that resurrection, the earth and all that is therein will be burned up. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so the Lord will return. All will be raised from the dead in Christ first. Those who are alive will be caught up with the Lord in the air. And then those who are not in Christ will be raised to be brought into the judgment. Then the earth and everything therein is going to be burned up at the end. And then every soul will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Whether it be good or bad. In this day, the world will be judged according to righteousness. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. The standard of righteousness that God holds, not merely the standard that man holds. And then every knee will bow before Christ. He is the one who will judge. The Lord has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Every knee shall bow unto the Lord, and every tongue shall confess to God that Jesus is the Christ. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. And so when we stand there in the day of judgment, we will all take a knee before Jesus. And then every single person is going to give an account of the things that they have done upon the earth. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. There will be nothing that will be hidden. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. And so as we stand before that great judgment seat and acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord, we all give an account of the things that we've done. Nothing will be secret. Everything will be revealed. Everything that we've done upon this earth will be made known. And then, as we are judged, the sheep will be separated from the goats. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 33 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." And that will be the judgment. And then at the end, after the judgment, all will enter into their eternal estate. You remember at the beginning of our lesson how we talked about how some ends are good ends and some ends are not so good ends? Well, for some, at the end, it is going to be a good end. And there is going to be a good new beginning. But for others, at the end, there will be not so good of an end and not so good of a beginning. In Matthew 25, verse 4, Jesus tells us what will happen with the sheep and with the goats. The king shall say to them on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." These will receive the crown of righteousness that Paul talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. They will receive incorruptible inheritance that Peter mentions in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. They will receive immortality and eternal life that God has promised to all of those who are His children and who live faithfully to Him. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. And they will enter into life eternal. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. And so the righteous will live eternally in heaven with God and Christ in the paradise of God forever. And there is one end that occurs at the end. But there is another end. And that is the end of the wicked. And they will go away into eternal punishment. The Bible says they will be sent into the place of the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. That they will be punished away from the presence of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible will experience a second death and be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 verses 14 and 15. And throughout all eternity, they will have to live with the consequences of the decisions that they made in this life and suffer for that. Matthew chapter 13 verses 40 through 42. Matthew 25 and verse 46 sums it up like this: "But these shall go away into everlasting punishment." At the end, this will be another ending. What will happen at the end? Jesus will return. The dead shall be raised up. There will be a great judgment. And each one of us will enter into our eternal reward, whatever that reward might be. You noticed in each one of these points that we've talked about this morning that for some there is good and for some there is bad. When Jesus comes again, every eye shall see Him, whether those eyes are good or whether those eyes are bad. When the dead are raised up, all will be raised up, whether they are good or whether they are bad. When we come to the judgment, all will be at the judgment, whether they are good or whether they are bad. And when we meet our end, at the end, all will meet some end, whether that end be good or whether that end be bad. Today, we're at the end. We're at the end of a year. I hope that as we look into our lives and examine our lives as a year that we will place before the Lord, that each one of us will be able to say it has been a good year. I believe it has been for this congregation and for the work that this congregation has done. I believe it has been a good year. looking back on the things that we've done this past year. We had our Friends and Family Day. Look back on that. We look back on the programs that we finished up this past year, card mailing program. We look back on all the issues of house to house and heart to heart that we mailed out. We look back upon all the services that we gathered here upon the first day of the week to worship the Lord. You know, I've got a binder in there of all the bulletins that we have. And I've got four more binders in this room and here of all the bulletins that we've had since I started preaching here. And you look back on all that. That is what this congregation has accomplished. The bulletin, it contains a record of what we've done, the things we've studied together, the things that we've talked about, the lessons that we've looked at in our Bible classes. It has the announcements that we've talked about, the things that we've experienced in our life, those who have been sick, those who have been prayed for, those who have been recovered. Some have died. Some have been born. Some have been born again. Has it been a good year? I believe it has. We've had this past year a lectureship at this congregation. I don't think there's ever been one here before, has there? That's been good. The congregation has supported me as I've traveled to Brazil and as I continue to travel on various different missions. That's been good. It's been good that we've been able to meet together in the various activities and fellowships and youth devotionals and various different things that we've done together to enjoy company and encourage one another. All of those things have been good. And you know, while each one of those things individually may not look like much, just like that bulletin. I like to look at that bulletin because, you know, you see the bulletin each week and you open that up and it's just a piece of paper with some writing on it. But you know what happens after 52 weeks in the year? That bulletin becomes a notebook. It becomes a record of activities and accomplishments. And all the things that we've done over the past year, we can go back and we can see those things. And we can say, yes, it was a good year. So here we are at the end. But we have a beginning. But that's next week's lesson. And so we will end this lesson. What will happen at the end of all things? We've discussed that this morning. What can we be concerned about today? Being prepared for that end. We can be concerned about that. But more importantly, we can be concerned about looking to our daily life and each and every day doing what we can to prepare for that day. Thinking about the things that we can do each and every day. What are some things that we can do this hour to prepare for the end? Well, if we have not, confess Christ as our Lord and put Him on in baptism. That is something that can be done this very hour. And prepare. Finish the year upright and end the next year with a bang. By confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior and putting Him on in baptism for the remission of sins. There's someone that needs to do that this morning. We are ready to help you to do just that. if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian, and perhaps you need some prayers for things that have happened in your life, you need some encouragement, then we can help you this morning by praying for you. If you need to ask forgiveness for one reason or another, we stand ready to receive you and to pray for you for that. If you have something personal and private in your life that you want to talk to somebody about, I'm available. The elders are available. I believe any faithful member of this congregation is available to help you, whatever that need might be. But at the end, we offer the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ that whatever your need might be, you can come. All together we stand and sing.